Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to come before the broadcast today. Just opening up our hearts all around the world, and we invite you to come and live inside of us. Come and speak your mighty word inside of us, dear Father. We ask you to deliver those who are just praying for their deliverance right now. We ask you, Father, that you heal the sick bodies, dear Father, that is believing in your touch right now. We ask you to lift up, bow down heads, dear Father. Hallelujah. Bless all those that are in mourning right now, for loved ones and friends and family members. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come to you for everything. Dear Father, we humble ourselves before you because we are lost sheep, dear Father, and we are in need of our shepherd, dear Father. So I ask you to look around your creation, dear Father, and all lost sheep, I intercede on their behalf right now, and I pray that you be the supplier of all of their needs, and may their hearts be softened, dear Father, that they may see the works of some saint saying, what must I do to be saved? Introduce me to your Savior, and may they invite you into their heart to live and dwell with you forever and evermore. We pray, dear Father, that our lives right now will just decrease enough so you can increase and pour into our spirits everything that is in need now, dear Father. If you find anything that shouldn't be, cover it up with your anointing. Cover it up with your Holy Spirit. Forgive us for our sin as we repent of those sins. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you may be at, all across creation. We just say hello to you. This is your host, Minister Von Dillis, and I'm broadcasting live here in San Antonio, Texas. And if you've been following along with us night after night, we are just so glad that we are able to just come before the Lord and just pray. Our scripture tonight is going to come from the book of Psalms, and we're going to read the first 8 verses of Psalms 104. So get your sword, get your pencil and paper so you can take down your notes, and let someone know that the broadcast is live right now. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can also leave a message here on the Blog Talk Radio. And I also would like to address those that have sent in the emails this past week some beautiful testimonies and praise. And I just thank the Lord for you just being so humble before the Lord. And whatever he's given that you're able to share before the Lord. And you take in the word and you expressing back in your emails just exactly how the word has touched you. This is God's word. And so I just remind everyone that this is not Minister Vaughn's word. This is the word of God. This word goes for me just as long as it goes for you. And what he's done for one, he will do for others. Hallelujah. So it's just an awesome thing just to read your emails. And I feel like I know so many of you. And I may never lay eyes on you. You know what? But just our spirits have always connected, and we pray together. And I want all of you to just send in emails and say, Minister Vaughn, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your ministry. I want you to know that on your return, I'm praying for you too. And God bless you and your families all around the world, wherever you're at. And, you know, where I'm at, I'm trying daily. I really do, people. I try real hard to be better and better every day. I try to do what I should have done yesterday. I try to make sure I do it today. But there's no need to be worrying about anything. And it's ones that are still in that place right now where you can't sleep, you're telling me. Your stomachs are hurting because of the worry in your life. And I just remind you, you said, what is that little saying that you were saying about worrying? You wanted to memorize it. And I think that we're talking about today is the yesterday that you worried about. Today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. So I think that's exactly what you're talking about, and it is a good one to remember and to remind yourself, because when your flesh starts crying out and decides that you want it to worry about something, it is. You have to speak to your flesh, and you have to tell your flesh, and that's a good thing to carry. Today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. You know, so the enemy said you wouldn't make it. But you're in that tomorrow now. But yesterday you was worrying about that tomorrow, but today is that tomorrow. You're in there. You've already defeated the enemy. So why stop and waddle in that pity now? I remind you, today is that tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. So amen, sisters and brothers, you go ahead and keep your spirit. And I know sometimes if you live the life of worrying, you know, just keep on praying. Keep on praying for that. God will remove it in his time. And it may be instantly. It may be something that he wants to carry you through something. He wants to show you something, or you may have to be carried through something. But just keep on praying, and God is an answer to all prayers, okay? It's always yes and amen. It may not be in the light or the way or the time that we see fit for, but God has a plan for each and every one of us, and we know that those plans is not to harm us. So that we can trust in, that we can stand on, that's a true foundation, that we can make our decision on. Those plans is not to harm us. And nothing in our lives goes past him. It doesn't get past him. We're not just walking past and he forgot to see something or forgot to tell us something. The word is in here, and all of his ways are true. All of his ways of righteousness. Amen? Amen. And then we were speaking a lot this evening about some of our jobs and what it is for us. How much that God loves us. He has his eyes on us. He's constantly thinking about you and you and you and me. Constantly we're on his mind. He's willing to clean our slate to bring us closer to him. He wants nothing, you know, to separate the communication that he has with you. Even that brand new car that you just got, enjoy it and give him praise for it. But make sure you don't allow him to separate you from him. I mean, you pray for that spouse forever and you really kind of gave up on it. But now that he or she is here, don't allow that to come between you. Spend your time together to build your marriage, but let nothing separate you from the love of God. He didn't even allow his beloved son. He even gave his only begotten son for us. Now that's love. That's love. That's love. We have kids. We that are parents. We have kids. But how far are you going to give your kid? How far are you going to put your kid out there on the line for someone else? When someone else won't even acknowledge that child did this for them, how far are you willing to go? Well, God set us as an example, and so we are to make sure that we're doing what he has done as an example, and that's Jesus Christ, the walk that he walked. And that's what we're looking at in our study right now. Because Jesus thought that he was worth winning, you know. So that's why he did not come down off that cross, you know. He stayed there. He was pierced in the side, you know. He lived the life doing the things that showed an example for you, for me. Because he thought we were worthy. We was worth all of the things that he went through. He said, you're worth it. You are worth it. And so that's why I intercede for all of the ones that deny him, that deny his love for you, that deny that, you know, that he died for you, or the ones that even speak the negative words out of their mouth that I've done too much and his blood won't cover me. See, when he hung on that cross, his shed blood was for each and every one of us, for our sins. He was sinless, and he took all our sins. He bore our sins. He wore our sins. That we may be able to repent of our sins, want to do better, walk in righteousness, so we can be in united eternity. This is just such a short time. When we look back on this span of these times, I want to say don't worry about nothing, because you know what? It's just too short. This is a short time, but for eternity. But you don't know that I'm going home. I am going home. I have eternity to look forward to. So, you know what? I enjoy living life. I enjoy life. But we got to remember that we want to enjoy eternity, too. We don't want to struggle still. So do you want to struggle the rest of your eternity? No. I'm going to get up to that for you. You do not. So we have to set ourselves up for it, just like you have to prepare for retirement. You prepare for a new child in the home. You prepare for that marriage. You've got to prepare for an everlasting eternity. Amen? Amen. Amen. Speak, Lord Jesus. Speak, Lord Jesus. Speak, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Psalms 104, starting at verse 1, says, O Lord, my God, you are very great. You're clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with garments. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He sets the earth on its foundation, and it can never be moved. He covers it with the deep as with garments. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled, and at the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. That is Psalms 104, 1 through 9. And I just encourage you just to go through and read that whole psalm. Read the whole psalm, 104. You know, it just tells us again that God is everywhere. God is in everything, in control of everything. Every word that we say, we're held accountable for because we have to choose. Here's words we could be saying. We could be using these words. Even in our trials, we could be using God's words to comfort us, to get through those situations. Even when someone's going off on you, and believe me, I work in an environment where there's a lot of opportunity for that to happen. So you got to remember what we were speaking about is what's off in your heart will come across that bridge that we call the tongue. So out of your heart, the mouth is going to speak. And sometimes when things happen, you don't even have time to think about them. Before you know it, you already spoke. The mouth is already starting to move. You know how this tongue is? It has no one to tame it. It will already start to say something. You didn't even mention it. You know what? You may be in a situation where you're trying to commit adultery. You say the wrong name at the wrong time because you didn't even think about it. If you could have thought for a moment, you would have known his he or she's name. But out of the heart, the mouth was speaking. So we have to prepare ourselves in advance. And that's what we're doing now. We're studying the Word of God. We're getting it down inside our hearts. So throughout life, our word is the Spirit. The Spirit of God's word is our sword. That's what's going to protect us. You can't have a rusted sword because you got some nasty words coming out of your mouth. Amen? Your sword has got to be sharpened. And in order to sharpen your sword, you've got to be in the Word. That's just one point. You've got to be in the Word. You've got to have the Word down on the inside of you. You know what? As much as we get up and we decide we're going to do this or that, and sometimes our flesh gets addicted to all kinds of different things, and I know it, and we have to stop, and we'll feed our flesh, whatever it is, food, whatever it is. We got to feed our spirits. Amen? We have to feed our spirits, and we have to let nothing stop us from feeding our spirit, God's word. We must continue to feed our spirit God's word. Because we just read in Psalms 104, God is a very great. He's everywhere. He stretched out the heavens like the tent. And look, there is no other. There is no other. Hallelujah. And I find that you can get more people saved with a smile than you could with a frown because your actions speak louder than words. And that's just not a saying, that is the truth. So God just doesn't want us to get what it is that he's given to us and hold on to it, but he's trusting us to share it with others. Because he sees value in each one of his sheep, and that's us. Like Jesus saw value in his sheep. That lost sheep that's out there that's in need of love. That lost sheep that's in need of God's grace. That lost sheep that you just may see moving around doing all kinds of things that you think, oh, look at that sinner. God doesn't just look at the sin of that person that you're looking at. You're looking at that person and you say, look at that adulterer. Yeah, look at that alcoholic. Look at this person, this liar. We all have fallen short. We were born into sin. So just because you've learned a way to repent of your sins and you're trying to do better at that, you got to pray for others. You remember, while you're looking at that person, you're passing by them every day and say, as you're coming from church or as you're heading to the Word, you know what, and you look at them like, wow, they should be in church. You remember, you may be the only God that they see. Have you went over and just talked to them about love, not about nothing else, just love, just love on them. God never asked us to try to claim that fish before we even catch it. You gotta love on the person. So he's trusting you to start to see people with his eyes. Don't just see the sin that they're living in. Don't just see the sin. See the lost sheep. And you know, all lost sheep needs a shepherd. You said you confessed it. You know the shepherd. You know how good God has been to you. Allow him to do that in someone else's life. You can't save them, but you can love on that sheep, that lost sheep. You can love on them. Enough to their hearts. God will soften their hearts. And so they can see the love in you. It's the love of God that compels men to come to him. And Jesus is easily touched. It's not some foreign thing that, you know, that we have to reach out or send off emails to get to. Jesus is easily found. He's easily touched. And he said, if you seek him, you will find him. You know, for centuries, the church world has just painted this elaborate mirror of Christianity. It's time to move from that elaborate mirror that we've been painting. There has been a sore lacking of just the message of Christ, the true message of Christ. Sometimes the church has been guilty of producing maybe a plastic religion, I'll say, that denies the power of God. And they want so many churches proudly display their beautiful painted theological flowers or different things like that that promote to let you know, okay, that's a religious organization there. But soul search is disappointment for the true fragrance of God. We're not out there searching for souls. And that's a disappointment. We should be at the church. We've got to get back to what we're looking for. Holy, we're here to do God's work. We're looking for his righteousness. We're looking to listen to his heart. Hallelujah. It's as if people are just trying to smell the fragrance of those religious flowers. But the true fragrance of God is not in materialistic things. It's not in how many people you can get in on your church series. It's not how big your Bible is. It's not how much you tell people you're a Christian. It's the life that you live in. Just like people are watching you, God is watching your actions. He's watching the life that you live in. He's watching the words that you speak. Hallelujah. That's just the truth. This is the fragrance of God. Because when you start chasing after that, the things that religion can bring you, you just end up bumping into hard and lifeless canvases. And you look at this canvas and you're like, this is not the picture I wanted to paint. This is not how I thought things was going to go. This is not where I'm trying to get to. Probably, and sometimes, that picture that is painted, sometimes the picture looks perfect. But God wants us to move beyond our religions, and he is looking to have a relationship with you. You may start as a babe with religion, but God is wanting to build a relationship with you. I mean, any time that you build something, it's stone by stone, brick by brick. He wants to build a relationship with you. And to have a relationship, it takes both of you involved. He can't keep talking to you and loving on you and you never paying any attention. You still think about me, and doing whatever you want to do. Amen? We have to keep ourselves in a position to be in a relationship. Because God wants you. He wants me to be a part of his kingdom. He really wants you to be a part of his vision. to win this world, the people of this world. We're going to give a statistic again that it's more than 7 billion people here on this, in this world. More than 7 billion is estimated at. But it's estimated that only about one-third of the same population has ever heard the word of God. I challenged you all yesterday to just look around when you went to your jobs today, as you went to the store, or wherever you went about just doing your daily routine. When you came into contact with whoever, did you notice? Did you even think about this could be part of the two-thirds of the world that has never heard about Jesus Christ? Again, you know his goodness. You know his love. You know his comfort. You know how, if it had not been for his loving arms around you, you would have lost your ever-loving mind. Did you even try to share that love with someone today? Did you even think about it? You can bring down, it's up to us to bring down those numbers. It's up to us to make sure that we're supporting the ministries that are out there reaching across the nations and the world trying to spread the word of God. However, we get so caught up, the son of us is like, I'm not sending my money to that ministry because I don't know what they're going to do. They just got a new car. I don't have a new car. I think they take my money. I think they bought the car with it. You know what? You should pray from your heart in whatever you do. Just like you pray before you make any decisions, do the same thing for that. God will place it on your heart who you need to be helping. So do you really think that all ministries are not doing the right thing? I really don't think that you think that. I just don't think that you think things through. How many of you? You are responsible for getting his word out. You are responsible for telling someone about the love of God. When we preach, we want to people to realize that they can have a close, intimate fellowship with Jesus every moment of the day. That's what we preachers are trying to tell you. That's what we teachers are trying to tell you. He promised that he would never leave you and he would never forsake you. And that's easier said than done. I hear so many people quoting that. But the moment that something goes wrong, over that bridge, we call the tongue, it comes out something else other than that. But as a believer, unless you have compassion for others, unless you're willing to love on others, you will make no spiritual effort to reach them. You will make no spiritual effort to reach them. And I know sometimes we go through different things and we say, I don't want to reach them. I don't want nobody to reach that person. Look at all the things that they've done. How can God use him after he's done this and that? So we make no effort to even try to reach them. You know, it's not up to us. It's not up to us. There is a long line of people who say that they're the chiefs. They want everybody wants to be the leader. But look behind you. No one may be following you. Or look behind you. Have you led them down to a dead end? No outlet? Well, we follow Christ. He said he always has an outlet for us. It's a way of escape. There's always a way of escape. And in order to reach the lost, we got to allow the life of Christ to be reproduced through us. The life of Christ should be reproduced through us, through our walk, through our talk. He was not only a teacher, but he also acted upon what he spoke, right? He acted upon what he spoke. So what I speak to you, I'm responsible to act upon what I say. So if I teach you that we need to keep the word down up in our heart and watch the words that we say to come across our bridge, then I have to make sure that that's what I do. And then I have to make sure that those trials and tribulations and sorrow times or whatever situation it is, I've got to make sure that I have the word off in me. So we all, if we expect to reach the lost, and sometimes we go in our street ministries and we get out there and we're so afraid, And we said we're not doing any good out here because we have so much fear in our hearts in some of the places that we're going. So we're just doing it just for action. It's just something that we say that we do. And we tell everybody, you know, I'm on the street ministry. But are you leading anyone to Jesus Christ? You got to be able to allow the life of Christ to show in you. Amen? What you do in this life will determine what you do for eternity. This is just testing grounds. Remember, what you're doing right now in this life, it's a shame. Remember, religion doesn't save anyone. Let's make sure we remember that. Religion doesn't save anyone. But Jesus does. You can stay in the boat of religion if you want to just see what Jesus saw and do the work that he did. And greater, you're going to have to step out of that boat and onto the water with Jesus. Peter, we can't doubt. We want to do more. We want to see. You know, I'll say it for a minute, and I'm so serious about it. I'm ready to actually see some of the things that Jesus saw. See, you know, just a blind scale just lifted off of the eyes of a man he's never saw. See a leg grow and roll something that was a stump. We have to continue to be in his will, to be in where he was, to represent him in all ways. If we want to see something that he did, we got to get out of the boat. Be willing to go different places. Be willing to come out of your comfort zone and step onto that water and trust and believe where God wants you to be. Trust and believe. What would it say? He will not leave us nor forsake us. You know, some of these ministries, and they go into the foreign countries and in the deep lands. And I hear people say, why would you do that? God has spoken to their heart and told them, this is where I want you to go minister at. You can't go over there in fear. It's, you know, some of the places right there in your city, in my city, it's just it's jungles. But if that's where God sends you, believe me, that that's where he needs you to be. That's where he needs you to be. Hallelujah. You know, but some of those people don't come back. Some of those people die. Everyone's going to die. Don't think if they had stayed here that their life would have been different. Because they would have been out of the will of God. We're all going to die. Are you willing to die for righteousness? You got to be there. It just determines upon you. You have to be there. That's stepping out of the boat. Yeah, that's really stepping out of the boat. It takes time and it takes effort to even gather in a harvest. But most of us out there as laborers, we understand. One day at a time, just keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. It takes time to. The farmer just doesn't gather up his harvest in one day. But most of all, it takes the laborers. The harvest are plentiful. We just spoke about the two-thirds, but it's plentiful. Many people out there need to hear the word of God, need to be introduced to our God. The harvest is plentiful. It's the laborers that is few. People who are willing to support the word of God, the laborers. Amen? Every ministry needs laborers. You need somebody that's going to be there to pray for you. You need someone who's going to be there to go through the hard times with you as you're studying the word of God. Laborers are people that understand the value of sheep. When something needs to be done, they say yes. So the Holy Spirit calls them, and they guide into the labor of the harvest, whatever it may be. They do whatever they can to facilitate the gathering of lost sheep. You see, Jesus pursued us. He pursued us with grace. And he overtook us
in our sin. While we were still in our sin, while we were running away from him, we ran right into his grace because he pursued us. You know, he said, you know, I just don't seem to be able to do anything wrong, you know, right. Every time I try to sneak into this, I see other people doing it. But he's pursuing you in your way that touches you. And he's not going to allow you to go too far over there. He's not going to allow you to do that. He will take you home before he allows you to go that far. He's pursuing you. And then after he pursued you, he redeemed us. You know he redeemed us? He justified us. He reconciled us. That should have been enough. But God didn't even stop there with his plan of redemption for mankind. I like the fact that Ephesians 2 and 6 tells us that he also made us to sit in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? See, everyone wants to take a seat in the heavenly place with Jesus Christ. I kind of laugh at that because I hear people talk all the time. I believe, you know, that we all going to be able to sit in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ. That just tells me somebody who doesn't know the word has no concerns, not enough concerns to get into the word and just see. Basically, you can just ask Christ about it. Reveal it to me. Amen? So he says that he also made us just sit in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. He's made us his church. He's made us his body is what he's done. And he's given us the honor of ushering more people into the family. Who God telling us to reach out and touch others and show his love. That's what he wants us to do. That's exactly what he wants us to do. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we look at the earthly limitations that we have and we say, well, I'm not a good speaker. Or we say, well, you know, I'm shy. You say, I don't even like people. Or whatever it is, my appearance is not what the people of the world is going to accept in this day and time. And, you know, minister, it's just not like it was back in the old days. And things are so different now. Nobody wants to hear about God. And we talk about every time that you allow those words to come over your bridge, you're just wasting time. You're just wasting God-given time. And it's not up to you to figure out how you're going to speak the word of God. It's not up to you. And he said, go yourself. It's not up to you to, you know, some of the times, some of the best speakers and ministers that you may receive the word from in front of thousands of people, you know, it's just awesome. But if you give them one-on-one, they may be the most shyest people. They may not even like being in big crowds and otherwise, other than when they speak the word under their anointing. Can you just allow God to be God? Amen? Just allow God to be God. And I remind you that the Apostle Paul, who was one of the greatest theological minds ever drawn to Christianity, yet Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to the Corinthians that he came not with excellence of speech, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. So not his own will. He didn't, not his speech. He didn't come there to impress you with his big words or the way that he even said his words. He said, I came not with excellence of speech, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Where does the power come from? It's the power of our walk with God. It comes from the resources of prayer. And if we stay within his plan, the world will have an opportunity to accept Jesus. Yes, it will. And the world will have the opportunity to accept his vision. And that vision will be fulfilled. See, the vision that Jesus Christ inherited over 2,000 years ago, it's calling out to those who are listening. Tomorrow you may see
this message in operation. Get up and do somewhere. Do the word. Say something to somebody. Share the word. Everywhere you go, people may be hustling and bustling around like sheep without a shepherd. But let your light shine as a witness to them. Let them know that you believe in Jesus and what he's done for you. And if he could die to save you from a life of sin, at least you could do a shining for him. If he could die, and he did, he died to save you from a life of sin, the least you can do is shine for him. That's the least that we all can do. Well, God bless us. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your understanding and for your peace. And may this word just penetrate in our heart, dear Father, and not just set there, but, dear Father, put a fire beneath this, dear Father, just like your anointing is, and set those on fire who is wanting it to, and that has heard the word and willing to be a doer. Dear Father, I promise that we'll keep on loving you. We'll keep on sharing your word, dear Father, as laborers come into the family of God, the family that we're going to spend eternity in one day. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. We celebrate today as we, with Paulette and Pauline Harwell. I think today is their birthday. God bless the twins, Paulette and Pauline Harwell, in Toledo, Ohio. God bless you on your birthday. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, you know, if you do not know the one who came for you, the one that we're speaking about, the one that we're asking you to dedicate your life to get on the bandwagon and get out of that boat and start walking on the water just as Jesus did, trusting in God. Start saying, living your life so that your actions will invite someone else into the family that God has for us. He's already made us his church, and he made us his body, and he's given us the honor of just ushering more people into our family. And if you right now decide you want to be a part of the family, this is your opportunity. You don't have to wait any longer, and you don't have to do any fancy dances or footsteps or try to impress anyone. This is all that you do. Just open up your heart. Believe the words that we're going to repeat, and you will be born again. You ready? All right. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. And Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. And amen. It's just so simple, sisters and brothers. Don't get so caught up on religion that you think that it's some long, hard thing to reach God. He's easy to be touched. And Jesus thinks you're worth waiting on. Amen? Amen. So now it's important that you just reach out and just share with someone that you have decided and invited Jesus Christ to come and live inside of you. You can reach me at welcomewithgod@aol.com. I'm more than willing to help you, pray with you. Anything that you need to get you started on your Christian walk or continue your walk with the Lord, I'm here for you. But I want you to understand right now, just when I say that you are born again, a little bit about what that means. Just a second or two. It just means that you now are a new creature in Christ. It just means that all of the things that you have done in your past, you can repent of the sins, and he's going to wipe your slate clean. Now, I know your friends, your family, your loved ones, the ones, your enemies, they may never wipe your slate clean. But he will wipe your slate clean. That's the honest true thing. See, no one here has a heaven or hell to put you in. But God does. And he's wanting to prepare a place for you. The word he is, the one day you may be also. So he is willing to wipe your slates clean. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So you have a brand new life starting with God right now. Right now. So all the old things have passed away. Behold, now you get to step into a new life. All things are become new. You say, I feel something different inside of me right now. That's a newness. That's the Holy Spirit you just invited to come live inside of you. You said, but I'm scared to put myself, I'm not perfect. No one is saying you're perfect. No one is asking you to be perfect. But now we have a Father who is. Now we have directions that are perfect. Now we can live a more upbeat life because we know that we have a Father who would never leave us and never forsake us. He's always there to listen to us. We don't have to go through any priest. We don't have to go through anybody else to get to him. All we have to do is open our mouth and talk to him. And he'll respond to you. So, it's up to you. I remind you, now that you heard the word, it's your responsibility to share it with someone else. And again, I challenge each and every one of you. If Jesus died to save you from a life of sin, the least you can do is shine for him. So let your light shine for the Lord wherever you go tonight and tomorrow. And I'll check with you tomorrow to see how well you did. I'm going to do the same thing, okay? You check with me, okay? All right. Well, God bless you. This is Minister Bond Dillon signing off. Then I love you, but God loves you more. Good night.